How would you like to relive your 20s? Well, if you love electroclash music, dinner parties that last late into the early hours, and maybe the odd mind-expanding substance, Compulsion is the novel for you. The debut novel from Kate Scott follows a group of young 20-somethings navigating the highs and lows of life and the friendships and romances that wilt and blossom along the way. It's a book full of poetic sentences and surreal, ecstatic imagery. Kate Scott is a writer, music journalist, and editor, and joins us now to talk about her first fiction novel. Kate, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No worries. It is extremely exciting to have you on the air. I just finished your book 2 days ago, so it's extremely exciting for me to get to talk to you.
You finished it at the height of summer. It's kind of...
Exactly. I finished it on the beach.
Good. Oh, that's very diligent of you.
That's right. I guess to start off with, this book follows the main character, Lucy. She's 24 and living what seems to be a pretty glamorous and hedonistic lifestyle. If you had to give us a ratio of Lucy's origins, what percentage is you and what percentage is fiction?
Well, that's a tricky question to start off with. I've been saying, you know, my dad texted me about the book and I was like, it's 100% fiction. I think in as much as, you know, we share the origin of a profession at that stage in our lives and working as music journalists, I don't know, let's call it 15%.
Yeah, right. 15%. It's funny because reading the book, I recognized many friends and acquaintances in my own life through these characters, these archetypes, you know, the unspoiled monster's relationship with Lucy, the PhD couple, newcomer Robin meeting the main cast for the first time. How many friends came out of the woodwork and were desperate to know if a certain character was based on them or maybe inspired by them?
Yeah, there was no surprises. There's a few people, one person in particular, that is a pretty strong reflection of a real-life character, and they read the book before it was published. And that, you know, that's my best friend, who was doing her PhD and behaving herself at a time where we were maybe going off the rails. And in a lot of ways, the book is kind of... You know, it's a kind of a love letter to that time where you can really devote, you know, endless days and nights to friends. You know, you're not necessarily working a full-time job. You're not necessarily, you know, devoted to kids or partners at that time. It's really a time that you can go all in on what I think are some of the most kind of like rewarding and interesting relationships you can have in life.
Definitely. Brought me back to my early 20s as well. I could identify myself so much with the scenarios and the settings and some of the characters interacting together. What was the, I guess, inspiration behind you writing this debut fiction novel?
I had to? I don't know. It was something that I just, you know, I've been working on for a long time and never, like, I'm going to publish this novel and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to find an agent and I'm going to release it in this year. It was always like, I want to write this thing. And I would, you know, do it for really kind of frenzied, you know, week-long stretches, often in the summertime, often by the beach, and then wouldn't touch it for 6 months. But it was something that would just kind of call to me. It sounds very kind of metaphysical, but it would. Like, it would kind of demand to have attention paid to it periodically. And then it kind of took form, you know, long after that.
Now, you've had a very interesting literary career. I mean, you're a music journalist at the age of 18 before becoming editor of the now-defunct street press magazine Rave at 22, a little bit similar to maybe Lucy and her role in running magazines very young. And then you spent 10 years with the Australian Ballet as their in-house writer and head of marketing. How is the difference between writing for journalism and writing for fiction, I guess, in your mind? How do you separate the two, or are they crossover?
I think for me, they cross over a lot, particularly, you know, the kind of writing I enjoy reading and probably find most natural, kind of instinctive to do is very kind of descriptive, kind of driven by feeling and sensation more than anything else. And so, you know, for music, obviously it's kind of getting into the texture and the kind of impulses behind the sound. And at the Australian Ballet, it was really incredible, actually, like just to have so many creatives crossing your path every day, you know, a costume workshop downstairs, all this heightened feeling, and then this incredible history kind of underpinning what was being put on stage every night. So it was a fairly kind of, you know, natural mode to move between, I think.
The prose in your book is very, very impressive, and so has so much imagery in there. I'd like to just read a bit of an example here. Quote, "The ocean is a total work of art. All periwinkles, cornflowers, picotees, uraniums. Its meridian peaks are unsullied by foam and submerged chain of seaweed pulses amber." Kate, do you read a lot of poetry?
I read barely any poetry.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's this coming from?
Discredit. Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's prose in novels, essentially, is where I kind of get my kicks. And I do love kind of falling headfirst into when anyone kind of describes something in great detail in a way that you feel like you're inside it yourself.
Right. I mean, your characters in the book are all very literary-minded as well. They're constantly quoting books, philosophies, bits of existential prose, and, of course, music. Music plays a huge role in this story. The characters almost define themselves by it. They rattle off lists of electro-clash bands. They define their kissing styles by lyrics. Everyone has a superhuman encyclopedia of knowledge about music and bands. Why do you think music has that much power over us to define and shape who we are?
I think it's just, it's something that's incredibly accessible. And I think you're often, there's like, you know, you're consuming music on your own. So you're kind of going deep into it on your own and kind of, you know, formulating lots of thoughts and opinions. And then you go into that mode of listening to it collectively and being able to kind of bat those opinions around. And there's a degree of kind of like showing off in there, but I think it's just also, it's a kind of like form of play. You know, it's kind of like playing instead of, you know, maybe these characters going out and hashing it out on the tennis court. Like that's their kind of way of, you know, engaging with each other in a way that's kind of almost like physical in the amount of effort they put into it.
Definitely. Do you know all these bands that you've written, or did you need to get help? Because I was stunned. I was like, I don't know any of these. Am I so uncultured? Did you know all these groups off by heart?
Yeah, but that's because I'm like an obsessive weirdo. That's my thing. Like everyone has their thing that they know a lot about. Like that's mine. You know. Yeah, we've all got it.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. Now, in the book, Lucy is kind of at the center of a group of friends, the two PhD students, Tabitha and Harry. You have medical whiz, Anika. You've got lawyer extraordinaire, Gudrun. And you've got the unspoiled monster, Julian, the effortlessly cool, always down to party, always at the center of everything, kind of magic man. And then you've got Robin, who kind of just joins the group one summer and slowly becomes integrated into the friendship group, kind of like a dark horse. And he has a lot more influence and presence than he gives himself credit for. For those who haven't read yet, could you give us just a little teaser of the relationship that evolves between Lucy and the newcomer, Robin?
I think the people that clock each other immediately and think, you know, kind of realize very quickly that there's something there and it's potentially dangerous to them both, and not necessarily dangerous in a destructive way, but in a way that, you know, has capacity to divert their lives in ways they weren't expecting. And I think they're very careful about how they progress because they're aware of the kind of weight of what's between them, I suppose.
Very well said. It's almost like you've read this book before. Kate, we're almost out of time, but I'd like to ask you one final question before we go, or I guess maybe two, quick two. This book is full of romances, sex, chemical explorations of consciousness, parties, summer fun, and intense introspection between characters defining what they want, who they are, and where they want to go. But what is your favorite chapter or moment of the book?
Oh, that's a really lovely question. Thank you. The section, I think, where they go to visit Robin's father, he's a music producer who lives in the mountains,
Robin.
I think was one that I kind of enjoyed inhabiting and kind of did so for a long time. That's a dream I had when I was like 20 about kind of going to this house and kind of spent a lot of time going back and embroidering. Yeah.
That was a really good moment in the story too. And very similar to some of the experiences I've had in my life. Wild. Get out
good.
Of my head. What's going on? Well, that is all the time we've got. Kate Scott, thank you so much for dropping by to talk about your debut novel, Compulsion, out now absolutely everywhere.
Thank you so much.
That was author Kate Scott talking to us about her debut novel, Compulsion. That's available now in all good bookstores. So if you like adventures about 20-somethings discovering themselves, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and existential introspection, this is the book for you. Coming from me, an absolutely great summer read, almost mandatory.